Hello, everybody. Good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you are. This is Veronica Entwistle, and you've tuned in to Radiance by Design. Radiance by Design, that's when we lift our fields and frequencies through changing our attitudes and our reactions, our intentions, and so on, so that we can actually create the reality that we would prefer. So I'd love to have your call-ins today. That's going to be wonderful. We're going to talk today about compassion. Oh, by the way, did you like that introductional music? It's by a woman named Amrita. Amrita is one that I mentioned before. She's going to be on the show next week. And what she developed was breast cancer. She had one breast removed. She redeveloped the cancer, which often happens. And then she said, no more surgery, no more chemotherapy, none of that. And she started to study sound and sound healing and music. She went back to university. And she kept working with herself and working with her music and working with a partner and was totally healed of breast cancer. So her music is really very resonant and radiant. We chose it because, first of all, we love it, but second of all, because her music is all about radiating consciously in and through the body and around the body. And I thought it would be wonderful to set the tone, set the pace, and really clear the energy fields for all of us as you tune into Radiance by Design. So let's do some more clearing. Oh, anyway, her name is Amrita, and this CD is called Entering Devachan, and I think that you can get her by www.healingmusic.org. But in any case, I'd love your feedback on this music today. It'll be a slightly different one between Radiance by Design and Paradigm Shifters, and we'll see what you think of that. I love sound healing. In any case, today we're going to talk about compassion, how we can lift our fields and frequencies. We went to see the Dalai Lama on Saturday, and I'll tell you, I was dragging my feet saying to Bob, you know, this challenges me because there's supposed to be 40,000 people there in the Seattle Stadium, and I really don't do crowds very well. A lot of us are really empathic, kind of go nutty in crowds or feel assaulted by the waves of feelings coming from many people. And I have to tell you that I started to cry because as we were walking in from parking the cars and so on, there were throngs of folks moving in toward their seats, and some of the seats were hanging from the rafters, way hanging from the sky. Believe me, they were up high. But there were so many people, and the feelings and the emotions were very loving. It was just such like a warm bath of the experience of what it's like when collectively our intentions are headed in that direction. It was hopeful, loving. It was just loving, that's all. And, of course, he talks always about compassion. You could say it was compassionate. And there were people of all kinds, all walks of life and all races and all sizes, and there were babies and old people and us and so on. So there's quite a variety of characters. And I'll tell you what, it just was such a blissful experience to know that that many people together can put a radiance together that is absolutely healing for anybody involved in it. Really touched me deeply. And of course, he talked about compassion, and we were talking about how even before we got there, there was a lot of personal waking up to where we're not compassionate or where we are compassionate and what stops it and what doesn't stop it. And the Dalai Lama himself was talking a lot about compassion. I think I sent this out in my newsletter, and he was saying, wherever there's big problems getting along, if I'm having a problem getting along, if there's a difficulty that I'm involved in, then I have to look at me because it's about me. And he says it's true for you, too. So he wasn't saying, oh, I'll self-sacrifice and martyr myself. He was saying that's where to look, is get into self-referral. Figure out what's going on in you when we're not comfortable with what's going on in the world. So, continuing on the vein of radiance and sending a higher frequency out and being in the way where we can set up a throng of folks actually just radiating at a higher level and changing the world, changing the collective by being able to do that, let's start with a couple of clearing exercises, the first of which will be bringing in the violet flame. And sometimes other colors show up. Today we were getting some of the platinum spiraling light, and we were getting some red in the violet flame, and that's fine. So what shows up for you, we incorporate it into our healing technique here, and then we're going to do some of the vibrational structures. These are those forms that become your, they become like a little workspace where you can do your manifestation, you can do healing for self, for others, you can bring people in and out who are in need, you can do world healing and political stuff. So let's get going and really change the world, and let's emanate our consciousness today and our compassion. Big breath. A couple of big breaths. One more. And let's call in the protection of our guides and angels and the uplifting vibrations of our angels and guides. And let's call in Saint Germain, that ascended one, and other ascended beings who are working with us on our planet right now. And now let's call in the violet flame and have it burning and burning in the corners of your room. And that violet flame burns and grows and burns and grows, transforming all the leftover thoughts and feelings. And the violet flame swoops up and burns all the way up to the ceiling. And the violet flame expands and grows and burns all the leftover thoughts and feelings, disintegrating, dissipating all the leftover stuff. And the violet flames grow to the left in a circle. And they grow and expand and dance and grow and expand and dance round and round in the circle, round and round in the circle until it spirals right into the middle of your floor. And feel that violet flame spiraling into the middle of your floor. And now let the spiral unravel and come on out and wrap itself round and round and round your body. Round and round your body. And now have it poke its way up through the soles of your feet and squeegee all the way through your legs, your belly, your solar plexus, your chest, your shoulders, down your arms, into the fingers till they tingle. Back up the arms into the shoulders, good, and into your neck, filling your neck, your consciousness of self, and move that violet flame in through your brain, in through your head, until it pushes through all the leftover thoughts and feelings. Remember, change the energy, change the reality as it moves through. It shifts some of those denser fields and frequencies, pop it through the top of your head, way out into the great central sun. Excellent. Now you're hanging from a violet thread from the great central sun source energy, too. And now let's call in above your head, perhaps 2 miles, a golden ball, and below your spine, perhaps 40 feet, another golden ball, and drop from the upper golden ball right down through your head, through your spine, and into the lower golden ball, a brilliant, brilliant filament of light. Excellent. And now around you, perhaps 8 feet in radius, a series of golden balls. It's around waist height. And from the upper golden ball to this circle of golden balls around you, drop many, many filaments of pink light. And they keep turning green on me today, so that must be what we need or I need. So what color are yours going? Drop amazing numbers of filaments of light. Excellent. And then from the circle of golden balls down to the lower golden ball, the same thing. Many, many strings of light. I started off saying pink, but they keep moving around in these greenish colors, green and gold, like noble gas colors. So if you get that, trust your higher self and spirit that what you're getting is going to enhance what we're working on today. And now inside of this structure, the outside edges touch the inside edges of the structure. There's this great crystal ball that you're creating, and you're inside of it, and you can feel that wonderful feminine energy. Feel it going round and round you. What colors does it present to you? And then again, inside of that, there is a double tetrahedron, or the star tetrahedron, whichever you're more comfortable with. That's a three-sided pyramid pointing up and a three-sided pyramid pointing down. Otherwise, the star tetrahedron is sort of like a three-dimensional Star of David. And you're inside, it's like the Merkaba, and we spin and spin and spin and spin and feel your frequencies moving up. You might even get a little ditzy, a little unbalanced, a little exhilarated. Spin and spin. And now as you're spinning, see on the magical screen in front of you, little movies of what it is. It's your, literally your YouTube. It's all about you. So see little movies on this magical screen about what you're wanting to create in the world, inside of yourself and outside of yourself. It might be about your health or your personal goals. It might be about the evolution of your ability to be compassionate. Maybe it's healing these various people that you know that you're wanting to intend greater health for or send energy to. Bring them in one at a time and see them flooded with healing light. Excellent. So this is your workshop. What kind of clearing do you need to do from your past or from your attachment to old past things? Those of you who want to lose weight or finish college or get that job or run for president. To see, feel, know yourself in these little movies. And just take a little time and make a movie about how you want the elections to go. What are the results or the outcomes that you want or that you're praying for? Excellent. So now come back into your moving structure because you're star tetrahedron or double tetrahedron is probably still spinning. If not, give it a few spins. Feel it whirling and whirling your energy so that it's higher. Excellent. So now I'm hoping that some of you are going to call in. And before you do, I'm going to talk about what we're going to do is talk about compassion. How can you test where your compassion is? Well, we sure know if we're having reactions, don't we? If we're having reactions, we're not having compassion, meaning if you're really annoyed, you know, you're driving your car and you're really absolutely annoyed with all kinds of people and how they drive out there on the road or how people correct you and tell you what to do. Or even more lethally, when somebody's saying, you know, I'm really mad at you and so on, or somebody betrays you, isn't it hard to have compassion? And when the Dalai Lama was talking, he's absolutely right. People asked him questions like, what can we do to soften our leaders so that they have more concern for everybody's rights and so on? And he said, we were all waiting. I don't know. And he laughed. But then he started to talk really seriously about way down deep inside, it is all about me and it's all about you. We need to go inside and really feel that kind of compassion for one another. And remember this, if we have a hatred or reaction toward people, there's this kind of tether. This is a really intense vibration that goes out there and nails them with our feeling. We don't realize that a lot of the time. Well, a lot of you do who are listening to this show because we go through this subject quite a bit. But as far as compassion goes, I notice that there's a lot of times I'm not compassionate. I'm impatient or I remember something that happened before. And I tense up. Oh, we have a caller already. And then I'll just be with you in a minute. And then I tense up against what the person's saying. And the last thing I have at that time is compassion. But I have compassion for you who's waiting to talk to me. So welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Veronica. Good evening. It's Kim from Louisiana.
Hi. How you doing?
Hanging in. It was a really beautiful meditation. Thanks.
Oh, good.
The visualization.
Did you feel strong?
Yeah, it felt really, really good.
Excellent.
I saw, first I had to, I didn't call for this reason, but, you know, okay. So I saw the 10 questions for the Dalai Lama, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I was born and raised fundamentalist Christian, but, okay. So mostly I consider myself Buddhist, although I don't do sitting practice all the time. My mind's more active than that. But, okay. So I saw the 10 questions of Dalai Lama. The thing is, like, his dharma is to bring Tibetan Buddhism to the West. So, okay. In other words, like, the movie was really cool until he got hung up on the Chinese, right? And the oppression and the suffering. And okay, I understand all that.
Wait a sec. What was the movie? 10 Questions?
Yeah, for the Dalai Lama.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, and everything was cool until the end, okay? And it just seems to me that, and I understand, right? I mean, I'm having compassion for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me that he hasn't acknowledged, or what I wanted him to do really, really badly, was to acknowledge that his dharma is to bring Tibetan Buddhism to the West, and that might not have happened in the same way. See, I believe that divinity basically ordained it, you know? That divinity ordained the Holocaust for a reason. Divinity ordained the occupation of Tibet for a reason. Now, I'm all for free Tibet, right? Free Tibet, obviously.
Right.
But,
mm-hmm.
on the other hand, I was kind of surprised that in that movie he couldn't at least see that his life purpose was to bring Tibetan Buddhism to the West. And if he had not been exiled, he never would have done that in the same way.
Did you see? I didn't see that movie, so
yeah.
If you would tell me, what did he say about about China?
Oh well, obviously he got mad. He got as angry as he got in the movie. I mean, you know, he had compassion for him, but it was obviously kind of a self-righteous anger. And you know, in my own curious kind of response to that was, I couldn't see his point, you know.
Okay, so the first thing I want to say without having enough information is that he was very clear. He said, I am a man, I'm a human being, A.
Right, right.
B, he obviously, you know, it was close to the bone. How it's been in China with the number of people being killed and everything recently, it's
right,
pretty close
right.
to the reactive bone, isn't it?
Right, right.
So I would say, you
right.
know, the way he talked was, this is the goal, this is what we have to learn as a species, but he didn't say he was beyond it, not in
yeah.
my ken anyway.
No, and that's the thing that kind of surprised me, because, you know, if I think about him being Buddha, right, the reincarnation of Siddhartha, right,
mm-hmm.
then I think, well, maybe he could raise above it, or maybe he could be above it or beyond it. There's a good book that I highly want to recommend. It's Joe Vitale's Zero Limits. And it's the ancient art of Hawaiian healing, Ho'oponopono.
Okay.
And it's like a love forgiveness mantra. And basically what you do is you call in divinity and you say, I love you, I'm sorry.
Oh, I remember a lot about this.
Me.
It came by on an email. For
exactly.
Of,
he's yeah. the one that closed the mental institution.
Right.
Exactly. He's the one. Dr. Hugh Lynn, he wrote it with Joe Vitale. But it's extremely powerful. That's an extremely powerful mantra for me.
What's the name of the book?
Zero Limits.
Zero Limits.
Yeah, published in March of 2007
mm-hmm.
by Joe Vitale, Vitale.
I just want to say about the Dalai Lama is we were sitting so far up that we were practically needing a parachute to get back down, you know.
Right.
And he was a tiny speck down below, but of course there were big screens. But the thing is his vibration was
yes.
so extremely high.
Powerful.
I could feel it. I would sit there and go, wow.
Well,
I mean, it's pretty
yeah.
amazing. So he
yeah,
has flaws
cool.
as a human being in that we think he should be a certain way.
Right, right.
But I don't think that I could even touch a lot of what it is he's able to do. And
right.
he was so grief-struck over all that, those killings in China recently, that
yes.
who knows what kind of reactions are still moving through him.
Right, right.
And he felt responsible in so many ways as well. Do you remember he said he would rather step down?
And that's Ho'oponopono, which is one of the tenets of this ancient Hawaiian thing, is that we're all this web of interconnectedness, and we are 110% responsible for every single thing that happens in our lives.
Right.
So, in other words, you never work on someone else. You only work on yourself. You call divinity in, you say the mantra, which is 5 or 6 phrases, then you call in the issue, but the issue has past life connections and web connections to you. Okay? And so, and every single thing, like if you hear of somebody, if you hear of something tragic happening, somehow it's connected to you. So every single thing, it's like that, it's like the Jungian thing, Freudian thing of everything's in your dream is you, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, everything is literally you. You know, and that's one of the main tenets of Ho'oponopono.
And for people who don't remember this story, there was an email going around which explained that there was this mental hospital, psychiatric hospital in Hawaii for extreme cases, and nobody got better, and the staff didn't stay. And then somebody new came to run it, and all of a sudden people started getting better and leaving and so on. And what he said when they queried him was that he never really saw any patients. He went through each file one at a time and said, "I'm sorry, I love you."
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Was that it? Was it 3 things? I'm sorry.
Yeah, he said, you say, "I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, and I love you."
Okay.
So it's actually 5.
Yeah, it was wonderful. I did that a lot for quite a while, but I have to say I totally agree anyway, and I think that the Dalai Lama was expressing that. He said, if there's a problem out there, it's here, and he pointed it to himself.
Yeah, exactly.
But the fact that he might have anger and rage and so on.
Oh, he's human, right? He's only human.
Yeah, and I think it might take a little while to express the compassion that he really advocates.
But I was just kind of disappointed in the filmmaker. Like, he could have said something. He could have said, "Well, you know, isn't it wasn't it your dharma to bring Tibetan Buddhism to the West? And wasn't it? I mean, it could have been done another way." But
well, tell me this: is it a good film? Should we recommend it to everybody listening?
Except for that part at the end, I thought it was a pretty good film. I found it fairly entertaining. But you know, I was like thinking. I did think kind of at the end that I wish that the filmmaker was a little bit brighter. Sorry.
Yeah, sometimes if they're not...
questions.
Well, you know, you've really been thought-provoking. I love your calls. So making
I would
think.
Have, I would have preferred questions a little bit different than the questions he asked. But that's okay. You know.
Well, maybe we can ask the Dalai Lama if he'd come on the show, but I have a feeling he might think we're too small.
I think that would be really, really cool. He might actually do it. I think you could, you know, you could email him, email his, you know, one of his people.
I think that's probably worth trying.
I do. I agree with you, Veronica. I'm being dead serious.
Well, let's all hold the intention because we believe in intentioning too.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I totally, absolutely, totally do. So now my question for you tonight is, and you gave me a really wonderful exercise when Charlie and I were getting ready to, you know, figure out what to do about splitting up. And
okay. So
here's my question. I have an energetic relationship with my boss, okay? And I have a past life thing with him. And I found this person I'm looking for, okay, the next guy in my life.
Wonderful.
Isn't that wonderful? I'm excited about, so excited about him. And but he's really busy right now, so he's an old friend. I haven't seen him in 6 years. I'm going to reconnect with him next month, okay, in about a month. And but I'm sure it's him, okay? I'm already sure it's him. The problem is that I think that he had the same past life. The three of us had the same kind of past life together. And, like, every time I bring my boss in, I see my boss wielding this, twirling around. He's a very large man. He's 6'4". Big ceremonial sword. So I can tell, and he's already teased me about this in a negative way, so I can kind of tell that, like, I'm thinking, okay, so I'm pretty sure that, you know, as romantic as it might have been, as romantic as it might sound, without trying to tell you all the details, I suspect the three of us had a, you know, like a love triangle
mm-hmm.
in a past life. And I'd like to be as compassionate to as possible. And I tried a little visualization, like, last night. And then I checked in with my boss again, but he's still got the sword up.
Is he angry, or is he just showing that he's a very powerful man?
No, I think it was not only powerful man, but sort of possessive.
One of the things I want to say to you about karmic relationships, you really need to be careful, because a lot of times, many of us are re-meeting or connecting with past life people. And
yeah.
You don't always have to take them home. You need to recognize by the pulling and pushing inside that comes up, you need to really recognize that that's really a lot of past life, but we don't need to live it out anymore.
Right.
It's hard to walk through, but when I look at your boss, I'm like, you're not having any kind of sexual thing with them, are you?
Not physically, but I'm having an energetic relationship with them at night.
I would be really careful to somehow, in your prayers and in your asking for guidance from your higher, from the team that's around you, the higher guidance, I would unhook him. Because I believe you're right, that there was a situation, how it looks is you got very small in between the two of them. And the other friend who's coming to town was very hurt by it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you don't have, I made this mistake once, but, and I know many, many of my clients will go into it because we believe that it has to happen because the energies are so available. But the reality is you need to assess deep within if this is going to expand or contract our world. You know, we can unhook people and forgive them and move on past them without getting...
Well, the thing is, like, okay, I love my boss, and mm-hmm. he's really wonderful as a boss. And but in truth, Veronica, I've been going through a lot of stuff, right?
Right.
And I did a bunch of, like, I paid someone to do a bunch of stuff on me. So, like, DNA activation, chakra clearing, aura cleansing, whatever. Okay, karma releasing, all this stuff. And what happened was, unfortunately, and it was all reasonably priced, and then all of a sudden it was like lots of money in order to continue this program, right? And it was weird, okay? So I didn't have the money then. But the part of the problem is I became consciously aware that I couldn't always control my decisions. In other words, like, I am aware of what my astral body does sometimes. I'm aware, okay? Or what my dream body does, but guess what? I can't control it. I can watch it, and I can acquiesce, but it's not like I can really control it.
But,
and
Kim, so, you don't have to live it either.
No, you're right.
You can observe it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right about that.
And it's just centering, and very often what I'm seeing here is that when you center, and we're back to raising our frequency, you can unhook from this in a very vital way. It's not that hard, and I don't believe it has to be expensive.
Okay.
I don't believe that at all. But I do believe this, that there's an entanglement between those two men, and you already picked this up, that could be so confusing to you and exhausting. And I'm like, it doesn't have to happen.
Exactly. That's what I'm worried about. Right, because, see, I have to deal with my boss is very demanding. I mean, I love him to death, but he's very demanding.
Okay, but you can set up, you know those structures we did at the beginning? You can set up a structure like that, and he cannot get in. He cannot get in. You can work with his higher self and your higher self as well, and you can send an awful lot of healing back and forth. But those attachments, and they are attachments. I don't care what people say. I've seen them over and over, and they come from many, many lifetimes, and it takes a lot of courage, a lot of insight, a lot of centering to actually move past.
So I can't just, Veronica, I can't just split myself in two and go with one in the physical and go in and hang out every once in a while with the other one in the astral?
Sure you can, but you know something? There's a tangle, and it goes right in behind you, right behind your sternum, just above your solar plexus in there, and it's like they're both hooked in there, and you can't tell me there's not going to be rather interesting.
Well, see, and that kind of, that's what I'm a little worried about.
Yeah,
like,
I am
worried
too.
About the day-to-day, ultimately kind of getting through the day-to-day.
And I want to say this, Kim. First of all, if you do it, there's no judgment, because the judgment and the payback will be just you going through it and having to extricate yourself.
Right,
but
I'll know right away.
Yeah, the second thing is, I don't think it's very hard for you, even though it feels intense, it's not going to be that hard for you to step out of it once you get going, because you're going to get quite a bit of help. And this other fellow it's not worth putting that other relationship in jeopardy, because there's a drainage that comes up in you, and you will be less of Kim for this other potential relationship.
Oh, I gotcha.
And you're on such an evolutionary track right now. You want to be more and more of yourself.
Oh, no, you're right.
And also, you want to have more fun.
And I will, yeah, and I will tell you that, it, and your listeners too, I mean, I asked permission, you know, I went in and asked permission from his wife, and she said, oh, yeah, fine, whatever, hang out, it doesn't matter to me. And, of course, you know, he was game, so, and I you know, I was bored, and I was, and I knew that there was a connection there, and, you know, it was on offer, and so, I did it. And I'm, you know, and sometimes I'm still doing it, and I'm kind of surprising myself. I'm like, oh, I thought I was not going to crawl in there tonight. I thought I was going to walk somewhere else tonight, you know, but.
I don't think you want to be drawn into the astral that much because it's a lot of trickery. But I really need to move on to other people. But
thank you so much, Veronica.
Be cautious, and many blessings to you.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Sometimes our imaginative realms and the astral and also a lot of the karmic stuff is just really, how can I put it? The way I understand it, it's like going in and out of a whole lot of movie theaters that have a lot of energy. They're sticky. And it's like walking through quicksand a lot, and you don't want to flirt with that too much. You want to stay in charge of what you are putting into the astral rather than just putting up with what's coming to you. That's how I understand it. So this is Veronica Entwistle, and we're talking today about compassion, but we're also talking about a whole lot of things. Call in with your questions and the dynamic changes that are going on with you. I've noticed that with compassion, I don't feel, well, even when Kim called and she was talking about the Dalai Lama and the 10 questions to ask the Dalai Lama, that his reaction to China, which I have not seen this movie at all, but his reaction to the situation in China was one of anger and frustration, and he wasn't presenting his higher truth. Well, you know something? The more I sat on Saturday, or even just preparing to go and afterwards in cogitation, I was thinking of all the things that stop me from being compassionate. Pretty much all have to do with self-protection, self-defense, past stuff, reactive energy, and so on. Is that what you've experienced? What do you think about that? I'd love you to call in with some questions about your life, how it is you perceive being able to be, well, two things, eh? A radiant, consciously radiant being of love and compassion. And then taking that to the higher level and applying it to the global, the world situation with all the war and starvation and disease and all that that's going on. The compassion. For us to have compassion, pick somebody that you might not be crazy about who's in a very big position of power. If you're feeling, and I won't mention any names here because I don't want to incite anything, but if you're feeling absolutely hateful about someone out there who appears to be in a position of power, even in the China situation, for us to learn to radiate, to emanate a compassionate and loving response to them, actually is going to lift, so many will say how, if we can, and I'll be with you in just one moment, if we can lift and raise the frequencies that we send back, people change, because we're not back and forth pulling this sort of like tug-of-war rope back and forth, everybody ignited by a certain kind of reaction. Compassion is the evolutionary track, and I know it's hard, even for the Dalai Lama sometimes. So you're on the air. Good evening.
Good evening, Veronica. This is Eugene. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's good to hear your voice.
How is it Eugene?
Yes.
Oh, good. I'm glad to speak with you.
Yes, yes.
How compassionate are you, my dear?
Oh, I don't know. I think I'm pretty much a compassionate person.
Hmm?
But I think I did something that I should have been more compassionate.
You want to talk about it?
I have, yes, I have one question. It's about my work, but it's people relations. And I have this certain dynamics going on with my colleague. Actually, she's sort of my supervisor. She's in higher position than me. But she is not, I don't think she's very honest, and I sort of feel that she's manipulative. And there is another woman who is consulting for this company, and she really likes me, and we, you know, talk a lot, and but the other girl doesn't like it at all.
Hmm.
So
what do you think she's feeling? One of the things the guides say is always put yourself in that other person's shoes, because human relationships are pretty tricky, aren't they? Put yourself in her shoes. What do you think she's feeling about you?
I'm not sure, but I think she may be afraid.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I think she's feeling threatened.
Yes, and why would she be threatened?
I really don't know. But I think I have ability to compete with her.
And also, it seems like you're getting some really kind attention where she's not. And she doesn't get it because she's very hard to get to know and self-protective, would you say?
Oh. Okay, so but what do you really see in her? It's like, I feel like she's pretty much an aggressive person.
Mm-hmm. But I tell you what, Sujin, she's very... at a deep level, she's afraid and is protecting herself all the time. So she does whatever it takes, and that's probably why she's dishonest, because I just see her kind of walled up inside, going, nobody, I never get what I want. The world doesn't come to me the way I want. And you and I could actually understand what that feeling is, right? And it makes her behave in a certain way. And actually, you have the upper hand. You're the one who has more possibility than she does.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I think she feels that, too. So the harder she works to defend herself, she thinks she's safer. And on in the metaphysical world, we know that that isn't so. So feeling, what the guides are saying is that feeling compassion for her becomes a lot easier when we can feel what she feels inside. You see what I mean? And that the compassion you feel for her is going to release some of that reactive tension that goes on between the two of you.
I see.
What I don't like for you is when you get smaller or quieter or more insignificant because you don't want to disrupt her. You're better to just radiate a strong compassion and you know, than to hide from her, because then it costs you, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's kind of like, I also have been very defensive.
Been defensive, or she has?
Yes, very defensive, and I couldn't open up to her.
Yeah. But you know, if you bless her, I don't know if you heard Kim's conversation about the Ho'oponopono, and they always say, I love you, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I don't remember what else you said, but always saying I love you and I'm sorry in your mind to those people is going to be much more calming and much more healing than the reactive stuff that we do. And certainly you getting smaller with yourself, I wouldn't want you to have to do that, because you're going to move through this track at work. You're going into a much better office position than you were before.
Okay.
And we want you to stay bright in that, not sort of get smaller. It is always about us, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right. Probably it was my reaction, really, which was really limiting myself.
Yeah.
And probably that I felt like, I think I kept victimizing myself. Like I put myself in the victim role.
Yeah.
Rather than I'll feel, okay, I'm going to let it go.
Or just even inside, start sending her really strong feelings like love and forgiveness. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to do that, but it's proactive. And you'll start feeling more and more powerful, because that part of you that gets so small and gets victimized, like you say, you don't even believe in being that way anymore. Do you?
Okay. No, it's no good for me.
But thank you for your call. It's a good call.
Thank you very much. It was very helpful and nice talking to you.
We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Bye, Ronnie.
Bye-bye, Dawn. See, that's a real interesting thing, is like we sometimes have to recognize when we're being a victim to someone else's thing. But if we get into the other person's shoes, you start to see and feel, and this is a practice we should probably do more often, start to see and feel what it is that person's doing that is so perplexing to us. And at that point, it's easier to drop being victimized and to have more compassion, back to compassion. So I love that call. Thank you, Sujin. So call in. I don't know if I've given the numbers yet because we got some calls before I gave them, so I'm going to give them right now, which will be 530-876-3222. That's the direct line. And then 877-876-5227 in the U.S. I'll repeat that. 877-876-5227 in the U.S. And from Canada, 888-810-8322, 888-810-8322, and again the direct line, 530-876-3222. What's going on in your life? How are you doing with compassion? Is it hard for you to be compassionate? It is for me sometimes, but I'm working on it. Thanks for your call. You're on the air.
Hi, my name is Susan. I spoke to you a couple times before about letting go of a bad past relationship. You told me to read James Newton, The Journey of the Soul, and I liked it very much.
Good.
I don't know if you remember me.
Yeah, I do remember you.
Okay.
How's it going?
It's going good. I had started this email relationship with a man who, first thing he did was gave me his phone number, and then he stopped emailing me, and this was taking me away from myself. It made me feel too small and him too big, you know. And I think that he's professionally ahead of me because we're in the same profession, but I've been out of the profession about 30 years. So I was, like, looking up to him too much, I think. And also that he did a certain actually sued his old girlfriend. And the way that he did it was like kind of in a very public way. And I think that I was very attracted to him because he took her in when she was having problems, but then he wound up suing her because she wouldn't mediate, and that I was attracted to the sensationalism of all this. So I'm thinking that I need to leave this alone and that he's not a good first person for me to relate to or work with. Do you agree?
I agree with you. I see, you know what I see is that he's all gnarled up inside and he's not opening at all. So he's like a locked box in a way. So you can beat on that door and you won't get very far right now. But for you, I would send him compassion. I would send him love.
I was thinking about that.
Sure,
yeah.
Melt what you can, but he looks like he's embittered by several different things, and it's really hard to relate to him. You've got something new coming up in terms of romance. And
I have a new man. Is he going to be good for me? I think so.
Yes.
The new one that I just connected with?
Yeah. Much more innocent. Innocent is a very good word.
Innocent, yes, and whimsical and fun. I just actually finished a 3-year relationship, and I'm happy.
Have you finished a 3-year relationship with him?
No, with someone else. With someone else, so that I was open. This is someone that we were interested in each other, but I was in a relationship, so we had a little bit of a love triangle for a while, you know. But I wasn't going to step out of my relationship because it was the same social circle, you know, because I wouldn't do that. I'm monogamous, you know.
Yeah, and that's a very wise thing. But it just seems like the fellow, the email guy, I would say send him a lot of love and walk away because it's very complicated.
Yeah, not even try to work with him professionally, I don't think, too much.
I would just move on. He's, You know, there's a lot of people out there, and sometimes we get our learning from people. And I'm not saying don't be compassionate. I'm saying sometimes we need to walk away because, like Kim was talking about, the potential relationship that was difficult. It's like we don't have to do that. We can move and trust that the beings that will work with us for expansion, illumination, will be right there.
Right, and you know what? You know, the reason I called you too was because there was a certain kind of maybe violence of the soul, I would put it that way, or a certain kind of excitation, you know, that reminded me of the person that I did walk away from.
Uh-huh.
You know, the one that I talked with you about. And so it was the familiar, that I was attracted to the familiar.
And you got to know this, that there's a resonance of certain patterns that are in our soul journey and our subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of another way of saying that the karmic connections, we don't really have to go through with them, but the compatibility is what deceives us. It can feel really compatible, and the next thing you know, you're up to your ears in the same entanglement that you've had before. And it's just because we have those patterns that have a resonance. Sometimes
right, because the guy went ahead and gave me his private email and he gave me his phone number. I didn't use it, you know. I just kind of had to feel it out for a while, you know.
Well, good for you that you did.
Thank you. Anyway, I'm going to enjoy the rest of the show. Talk to someone else. And I love you talking about the Dalai Lama and about compassion, because I'm going to learn how to be more compassionate myself.
Well, and also, this new man is also aiming in that direction.
God bless you, Victoria.
God bless you. And it's good to meet people who are also growing.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye. And it's kind of interesting because that reminds me of the first thing we talked about, which was the crowds of people going into the Dalai Lama had a high-frequency loving in vibration. And that's so important. So if you're going to hook up with people, you're going to hook up with karmic people, you might feel a kind of a compatibility, but there's a push-pull. That's not where the intentional stuff is going upward. I'm being very simplistic about that. So we can have the compassion and so on, but stay alert to where you are, back to Sujin's call as well. If you're getting contracted by a certain kind of interaction with someone, you need to back up, do some clearing, send them love, grow your compassion. But as far as picking and choosing who to hang out with, you really want to hang with people and you want to be with people that you can grow and you start feeling bigger and bigger and more possible with them. It's really an energetic reality. So let's go back to compassion. It's also, if you're afraid for yourself and you have really low self-esteem, it's very difficult to be compassionate. Have you noticed that? Check it out inside yourself. If you're with somebody, you're dating somebody and you're not too sure about him, and you meet another couple and they are really sure and she's way more beautiful than you are, or whatever, assuming you're a woman, you can feel self, you can feel contracted, you can feel inward, you can feel pulled in yourself and not participate in any kind of compassion at all. And it's just sort of a self, very often the lack of compassion is a kind of a self-negating or self-shriveling reality. And it helps if you drop in and look at that and then begin to get into this other person that you're competing with or comparing with, getting into her shoes and understanding what she might be feeling at the time, even though she looks great. You see what I'm saying? It's picking something obvious like that where you feel smaller, then moving through that and then sending her love and sending her compassion. We have another caller. You're on the air.
Hi, Ronnie. It's Stephanie from Tucson.
Hi, Stephanie from Tucson. Welcome.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm calling to chat about compassion.
Good. Chat away. Stephanie's a wonderful reader and healer herself.
Yeah, but I guess my trouble is that I think that I'm so loaded down with grief
mm-hmm.
that it's really hard to feel any compassion.
Well, you know, that's
hard to feel anything.
I'll bet you, honey. We need to do some energy with you. The first thing I wanted to say about that is it's a perfect example of how when we have something going on which is really deep and personal, we don't radiate most of those things at that time, right?
Right.
And that's really the exercise. And then looking at you, I have to say that intrinsically, you have a lovely frequency and you do radiate out. So you've got it deep within, okay?
And then I feel like there's like a rock in my chest that just won't move.
Yeah.
So I have an intolerance for people. You know, a real kind of harsh
softness or hardness that's like, I don't want anything in anymore.
Let me ask you this. Stephanie had a huge loss a few years back, not very long ago, of her daughter. And I just wanted to say that because the grief issue is a real transformative issue and sometimes can take a while to actually turn into your wisdom. And I want to ask you if you think the world cares about you, because I feel that at some level that's the interpretation your subconscious has made. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like I really would rather not be here.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And I mean, I'd rather be with her.
Yeah. Well, much love to you and many blessings for that. And
yeah.
Yet I'm seeing here is that what we're going to do is call in our guides and angels and call in your higher self, and we're going to ask to have some of that lightened. We're going to ask to have some of that energy lifted for you, because what you have is a very, very deep call to service in this lifetime.
Right. And so I get all these people that are full of grief right on top of mine.
And you know the problem with that is that it kind of exacerbates the situation. It increases
right?
it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it just kind of locks up. And then I can't, you know, I like the feeling of compassion. I mean, I think that's how I got to where I am, is through compassion for others, you know? So when I don't have it, it's kind of a scary feeling.
Yeah, but it's not, Stephanie, it's not permanent.
Yeah.
You have a very beautiful healer's light deep within. Right now we're trying to move energy up through. And grief is actually a really interesting, it's very complex, isn't it? It takes on...
It's really crazy making.
Yeah.
You know, because it comes unexpectedly, it's triggered without warning. Yeah.
And what it does is it forces you to reformat or recreate your identity. And that takes quite a while, unless you're whippity-snappity at it.
Yeah, I'm not speedy with it. And I don't want to keep getting stuck with it.
I know.
You know, I'm stuck in it.
Yeah. What we're doing right now is sending some energy. Can you feel that?
Mm-hmm.
We're sending, and for people at home, what we want to do is call in your higher selves and ask your higher selves to release, to take. And they'll do this, and ask your guides to do this as well, to take your own grief. It doesn't even have to be Stephanie's. It's also Stephanie, for example, as she meets other people, will automatically attract their grief, because we're such magnetic characters, aren't we?
Yes.
And I'm asking the higher ones, the beings of light and love. Yeah. And they're pulling something. I don't know if you can feel it. There's energy moving off your body. Can you feel
it? Yeah,
that?
I've been about rock moving aside from my chest. I mean, I can feel, I do feel compassionate when I'm working with others who've suffered loss, whether it's relationship, whether it's by death or by passing. That is when I can kind of touch the greatest level of compassion that I have within me. But sometimes I just kind of walk away really sticky.
Well,
you
and
know?
That's back to the thing that we just get back what's in us. So
right.
Maybe you and I should talk over the next while, because we have to draw this to the close, unfortunately.
Okay. All right.
But I want to send you much love.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
Much understanding and awareness and a sharing for you, with you.
And we keep going.
Yeah. And you will keep going, and you have so much to give to the world.
Yeah, I do care, you know. I do care, even though I don't really feel like the world cares about me at this point. Which is, yeah, one of those.
I think we're
going
to do a whole show on grief very soon. I think.
I could probably have a lot to say about that.
So we're going to hear from you very soon. All right, take care. Much love to you.
All right. Thanks, Lenny.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, this is Veronica Entwistle saying, that's been a real interesting show on compassion, how we are blocked from from feeling compassion for other people by the intensity of our reactive experiences. And we even heard that the Dalai Lama represented that particular difficulty in that movie, which I have not seen yet, called 10 Questions to Ask the Dalai Lama. Now, Radiance by Design will be on again next Tuesday at 4 o'clock, and I'll be with Jackie Salvitti on ET Healing Thursday night at 8 o'clock. We've been working on feminine rage and moving rage through the collective, so I'm not sure what she's going to do this week, but that was extremely powerful last week. My next hour at 5 o'clock today, we're going to talk to Liz Mitten Ryan. She is an amazing woman. She's talking about animals. Talk about compassion. She's talking about living in and with a herd of horses. She has a house and so on, but she's talking about being with animals in a way that you can be one with the herd. And, you know, it also requires compassion. It requires being still enough in yourself, being in truth with who you are, and being in the flow of what these animals are presenting. And she speaks about when you do that, the unfoldment of the communication with these animals will bring tears to your eyes. Her book is One with the Herd. Her website is onewiththeherd.com. And the pictures, she paints pictures as well, but the photos and the pictures she paints and the words that she writes and the word pictures she paints are absolutely beautiful and stunning. I've just finished her book, and it's just really deeply touching about the quality of truth amongst people and animals when we can feel one another. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying see you at the top of the hour. We'll see you next week on Radiance by Design. Much love.